What's narrow?
That's narrow thinking, though.
What is?
To say because they haven't been exposed to it, they...
Well, maybe they know other things.
Yeah.
It's different. I mean, maybe the sayings are different. You're just, yeah, you're out of touch. You're not
what's the new saying?
I'm out of touch, though.
So LOL?
Oh, yeah.
BFF?
OMG.
You can say that in English.
ROFLMAO?
LMAO? Yeah, what's that?
That'd be saying stuff.
You can check.
Rolling on the floor, lasting my arse off.
Oh.
You don't know that? Come on. You are so like yesterday. That's actually like 10 years old at least. So.
Really?
And you little kids. You know, I have to paraphrase Ronald Reagan for a moment.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, Ronnie, you like Ronnie?
Ronald Reagan. IMHO. Ronald Reagan was at a campaign speech once, and this guy from the audience got up and he starts heckling Ronald Reagan. You just don't understand. I mean, we have all of these new technological innovations, and you guys just didn't grow up with them, so you can't understand us because we're a new generation, and you just don't understand kids because we have so much more technological stuff than you. You guys are old fuddy-duzzy, you don't understand anything. And so he said, you're right. We didn't grow up with those technological innovations. We invented them.
Ooh.
So, to the... Yeah, it was a classic moment in politics. But for those of you who think that it's an advance to type instant messages on your little 10-key keyboard, it's a step backwards. It's like 5 step backwards. So anyway, moving along.
Texting
messages, that's a step backwards.
At least they're more literal now. Now they're reading, now they're actually...
Yeah.
Better.
Yeah.
My generation.
Yeah. Now you spell it C-R. Yeah, punctuation, capitalization, gone. Big words, gone. Must use little words. Although there is one annoying trend that I see amongst our generations, and that is the use of the word utilize. We should never utilize anything we can use.
What? Say that again?
We should never utilize when we can use it instead. Utilize is a made-up word. We have a perfectly good small word, use, so why do we have to make up a big word, utilize?
Because it's a sword. It's gonna sound more impressive.
But it just makes you sound dumb. Makes you sound, well, not dumb. Overreaching? No.
Ostentatious?
Good. That's a good one. Uh-huh. Better one. What would be a better word even? Ostentatious? Showing off? Highfalutin. All right. Now, this is mental status exam. This is what the aspects of it. Now, there's a kind of mental status exam. They call it the mini mental status exam. Even though it's called a mini, it really takes about 30 minutes to do it well, especially with a patient who's got psychological or neurological problems like dementia patients. But you will see that eventually. You're going to learn more about it in psych class. So that's called a mini mental status exam. It's 30 questions and they're scored on that. So.
Does the hospital provide you like a checklist of what it was, or you do it yourself and then you write it on a chart?
Right.
Failed, whatever.
Yeah, well, it would be a number. You get a number out of it. Now, in addition to that, there's also something called a mini cog. Say mini cog. All right, mini cog consists of 3 items and it's really easy. First one is registration, second one is recall, third one is clock drawing. All right. Cranial nerves. So first thing we're going to do is the olfactory. We have a patient sniff something and identify it by sniff. Typically in most settings, you're not going to assess this nerve. We are not going to have you assess this nerve in there. And don't say sniff my hand. Number two is the optic nerve. So what we're going to do for the optic nerve is we're going to have them read something. And that something should preferably be an eye chart. You can also do what we call visual fields testing. And we'll show a video on that when we do the eye. Then, cranial nerves 3, 4, and 6. Notice that we have skipped number 5. 3, 4, and 6 are the oculomotor, trochlear, and abducens. And what we're going to do for that is we're going to do something called PERLA. We're going to see if their pupils are equal, that's the E, round, that's the first R, react to light, that's the RL, and then accommodate, which is when you focus on something close, do they constrict?
Say that again.
Pupils equal, round, react to light, and accommodation. Then you're going to look for what we call positions of gaze. And this is what you're going to do is you're going to say, follow my finger. So those are the positions of gaze. Then for the trigeminal nerve, there's a couple things we can do. The first one, remember we said trigeminal? Like this, remember that? So what we're going to do is we're going to say, do you feel this? Do you feel this? Do you feel this? You're going to ask them if they feel on the different parts of their face, forehead, cheek, and chin. You can do it on both sides because you have a trigeminal nerve on both sides. You can also do chewing muscles. So remember yesterday when we did musculoskeletal, we had the person bite down and we felt their masseter? Okay, you can do that as well. And then the corneal reflex, where you actually take a little wisp of cotton and you put it in their eye and see if they blink. We're not going to do that one to each other. Then we have cranial nerve number 7. Notice we don't have 6 because we already did it up here. Cranial nerve number 7 is the facial nerve. Smile, please. Simon says smile. Simon says frown. Simon says push out your cheeks and don't let them go. Hold it. So you don't want to let it go. All right. And then squint your eyes really tight so you can't open them up. Those are all the facial nerve. Number 8 is the vestibulocochlear. It is actually hearing and balance, but typically we're only going to do hearing for the cranial nerve 8. So we're going to test the hearing using what we call the whisper test. So how do you think the whisper test works? You whisper something and see if they can hear it. You want to test each ear separately, so you're going to plug up one ear, whisper, then plug up the other ear, and again, the words should hopefully be non-related, so they can't guess one word from the other. So if you said peanut on one side and then butter on the other side, that's too easy to guess. Or peanut butter and jelly, no good. Yeah. You want to use, so if it's peanut butter on one side, it's apple on the other. Well, that's still related too. Peanut butter on one side, it's going to be
fork.
There you go.
Yeah. If they're older and they lost their hearing, say, to something else, it's not necessarily nerve damage.
That's what you're testing here. That's just what we're testing. Yeah, there are other reasons for hearing loss other than cranial nerve 8 damage. But this is how we're going to test cranial nerve 8. In addition to that, there's two tuning fork tests, which we'll show you how to do those, called the Weber and the Rinne, or Rinne, depending on where you're from. Next, we have glossopharyngeal and vagus nerve, which we're going to test together. What we're going to do is we're going to ask the patient to stick out their tongue. Go ahead, stick out your tongue. And then we're going to ask them to say, ah. Ah. Now, when the doctor tells you to say ah, he's not necessarily trying to see farther back in your throat. He's trying to see how your throat moves when you say ah, to see if you have vagus nerve damage. So you can also gag a person and see what their gag reflex is like. We are not going to do this to each other, at least on purpose. If you want to, what the heck? Then we have the spinal accessory nerve. What we're going to do is have them move their head and shrug their shoulders, just like we did yesterday for the musculoskeletal exam. And then the hypoglossal. These are fine tongue movements, so we're going to ask them to say light, tight, and dynamite. Although it's more fun to say light, tight, and dynamite, but that's a made-up word. All right, now we're going to move on to the sensation exam, sensory exam. So with the eyes closed, avoid asking leading questions like, Did this feel like it was pain, right? So, in general, you're going to start distal. So start down at the hands. And if the hands are okay, you're going to assume everything on the arm is okay. You're going to start at the feet. If the feet are okay, you're going to assume everything else is okay. This is unless the patient comes in with another type of problem. Then you do more thorough. But for just a general exam, you do the feet, you do the hands, and that's it. So for the spinothalamic tract, you can do pain, temperature, and light touch. We are going to leave out temperature. We're going to do pain. So what you're going to do is you're going to get like a sharp pin, and you're going to say, close your eyes, please. Does this feel like it's sharp or dull? Sharp or dull? And so then you're going to poke them in different parts of their hand, and they're going to say sharp or dull. And you don't want to always go sharp, dull, sharp, dull, sharp, dull, sharp, dull, because that's too predictable. So sometimes it'll be sharp, sometimes it'll be dull, and you should try and do it kind of random so they don't know. Now, hold up your hand. How many nerves innervate that hand? Three. We have the radial, the ulnar, and the median. Well, so what you're going to do, when you assess the hand, you're going to assess this area right here for the radial nerve, the middle finger for the medial nerve, and then you're going to do the pinky for the ulnar nerve. That way you make sure you assess all three nerves, radial, median, ulnar. So we're going to do pain and we're going to do light touch. Usually you do light touch first. So that's just like you take a Q-tip or a cotton swab and you just say, you know, tell me where you feel me touch you. And again, it should be three places on the hand, on each hand. Then we're going to do the posterior column. We're going to do vibration sense. We're going to have a tuning fork that we're going to go bang, and we're going to put it on their finger. And what do you feel? A vibration. It's just a good vibration. Anyway. Position. For position, what you're going to do is you're going to isolate their finger. And then what you're going to do is just the very first joint, you're going to go, this is up, this is down. Up, down, up, down, up, up, down, down. And then you're going to have them close their eyes. Well, their eyes should be closed the whole time. And you're going to say, did I move your finger up or did I move your finger down? Now, why do you have to make sure you isolate the joint? Some, if you leave their fingers like this and you're going up or down, it could be bumping into the other fingers, and that's telling them whether it's up or down. So you want to make sure that that's the only finger that's out there. You guys are just gone. Anyway, then we have tactile discrimination. We have five different possibilities. We are going to choose two. So I'm going to explain them all. You get to choose which two you want to do. First one is stereognosis. Stereo means impression. Gnosis means knowledge. So it's the knowledge of impression. So what we're going to do is we're going to hold the patient's hand up in front of them, and we're going to use an object, and we're going to write a letter on their hand. So you'll say, this is a T, this is an S, what's this letter? And you'll do, and they'll say H. A and H are notoriously hard to tell apart. So if they say A or H for one or the other, it's not a big deal. Or they go, oh, that's a P, or that's an O. So that's called stereognosis. You're knowing from the impression that's being written on the hand. The next one is called graph esthesia. Esthesia means feel. I'm sorry, I did this completely wrong. Ha ha! Stereognosis means to know from impression. So it's, what's this object? What is, so you're going to say, close your eyes and hold out your hand, and I'm going to give you a surprise. And so you put an object in their hand, and they're going to feel it and tell you, oh, this feels like a penny. This feels like a button. This feels like a scorpion. Okay. So they're going to feel it and know what it is. So Graphesthesia means, aesthesia means feel, graph means write. This is where you're going to hold their hand up and you're going to say, this is an S, this is a T. Now I'm going to write something on your hand, tell me what it is. Oh, that's an O, or that's a P. However, you know, whatever letters you want to do. And again, H and A are very commonly mistaken for one another. And you want to use capital letters, not little letters. Two-point discrimination. Two-point discrimination is where you're going to take usually something like a paperclip, unbend it, so you've got 2 points. Then what you're going to do is you're going to say, am I touching you with 2 points at the same time or one? Two or one? Two or one? And you're going to get closer and closer and closer together until they can't feel the difference between two and one anymore. The distance at which they can't feel 2 points is the two-point discrimination distance. Then we have something called extinction. Now, a lot of times, people can feel something if you point to one part of their body, and they can feel something if you point to another part of their body. But if you touch them on both points at the same time, they only feel one. They don't feel both. That's called extinction. So what you're going to do is you're going to have them close their eyes, and you're going to tell them, I'm going to touch you on 2 points on your body at the same time, and I want you to tell me where those 2 points were. So you touch them like on their trunk and on their shoulder or on their hand and on their arm at the same time and see if they can feel both of them at the same time. And then we have point location, which is where you have them close their eyes and you touch them somewhere on their body and they have to point to it. Instead of say and describe it, they have to point to it. So you get to choose which of those 5 techniques you would like to use. And typically people just do the first two. But the choice is yours. All right, motor function. First thing is muscle size. Then we have muscle strength. And what is the way? What are the ways that we describe muscle strength? 0 through 5. 0 is completely flaccid, no contraction at all. Tone is just, you know, is there muscle tone in that muscle at all? Involuntary movements like tics or twitches. Cerebellar, we're going to do balance. So the ways we can do balance, we can ask them to walk. There's a couple different ways of walking. So we're going to ask them to walk normally. Then we're going to ask them to walk on their heels. Then we're going to ask them to turn around again and walk on their toes. And then we're going to ask them to walk one heel right in front of the other toe. And this is called tandem walking. If any of you have ever been pulled over at night, the police may ask you to do this. What they're testing for is cerebellar function, which might be inhibited by alcohol. Romberg test. What we're going to do is we're going to ask the patient to stand with their feet together, eyes shut, and their arms out like this. And then we're going to see if they have balance or not. If they fall over or stumble or have to open their eyes, we call that a positive Romberg. If they can stand here for 20 seconds or so without moving, we call that negative Romberg. Then we have one-legged squat where you ask a person to stand on one leg and bend down and come back up. They don't have to squat all the way down. This one is also kind of indicative of leg strength as well. So these are all tests of balance. Then we have cerebellar tests of coordination. So you're going to do rapidly alternating movement. There's 2 different ways you can do this. So one is you do finger to thumb, finger to thumb, finger to thumb, finger to thumb, finger to thumb. So you're having them do finger to thumbs. Another one is you can ask them to pat their hands, the back of their hand, front of the hand, back of the hand, front of the hand, back of the hand, front of the hand. And you're going, gosh, any idiot can do that. Well, any idiot who has good cerebellar function can do this. So the next time you're at a party with some friends who are drunk, you can ask them to do some of these things. We also have finger to nose, where what you do is you'll ask the patient to touch their nose. And then you'll hold out your finger and say, now touch my finger. touch my nose, touch your finger, touch your nose, touch your finger. Close your eyes and keep doing it. And then we have the heel to shin, where you're going to ask them to close their eyes and take their heel and run it from their along their shin, from their knee down to their ankle. And those are all coordination tests. Again, you're going to choose one of those to do on your neuro exam. So there's a big toolbox. You can do lots of different things. We're only going to choose one and do that one. Now, deep tendon reflexes, there's five of them that we're going to test. We're going to learn all five. But on your head-to-toe exam, you're only going to have to do one. And that's usually going to be the quadriceps or the patellar tendon. Some additional tests you can do. There's one called Clonus, where you shake their foot a little bit, and then you see if it continues shaking on its own. And then we have some superficial reflexes, the abdominal reflex, the cremasteric, and the plantar reflex. The abdominal reflex, you basically scrape their abdomen and it should contract towards the scrape. Cremasteric is you scrape their abdomen low on the abdomen and it only works for guys. Their scrotal muscles will actually contract upwards. And then plantar reflex is you scrape the bottom of a person's foot. What do you think the ordinary response to being scraped on the bottom of the foot would be? Ordinarily it'd be to curl inwards. But in an abnormal reflex, their feet will spread out and the toes will spread out. We call that Babinski's reflex. It's in children, it's a normal finding, and in people who are very ticklish, it's a normal finding. But in normal people, it's an abnormal finding. It's typically a sign of neurological damage. And that's it.